Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
I am determined. And just those inspirational words have really motivated some people to make decisions to get determined, to stay determined, and to follow the course. It's not a self-determination, although you have that self is involved. You have to make a conscious decision to be determined, but it's backed up by the power of the Holy Spirit, who will help you because he is your helper. And he wants to help you in everything you do. He is concerned with everything that you do. So this morning, the beginning of I Am Determined, God, I believe God wants to speak to you this morning in a profound way. I believe that there's breakthrough, not just surface level, but breakthrough deep, that God is here, that we will plant the seed of the word into the soil of your heart, and it's springtime. Spring is new life. Things are in bloom. It's a time for planting, time for things to bud. And my wife is feeling it. She's sore. But prior to that, it's just overgrown. You know, when you come downstairs and you look out the slider, you look out there and all you see is a lot of work. Bushes need to be cut. The garden needs to be tilled. It needs to be all maintained. Everything, we need some fertilizer. The grass looks really bad, you know. And so we got out there and rototilled the garden, started weeding, mowed the lawn. And after 3 or 4 hours, it's amazing what it looks like. Because now I came downstairs this morning. Instead of avoiding looking out there, I go out there. And I'm looking like, wow, look at this. This looks good. This afternoon, I'm going to, wash the deck out there and power wash and get everything looking real good. Because one thing that we love to do is barbecue. Anybody love to barbecue? Only a couple people. Anybody love to barbecue? Come on. Barbecue is fun and it's easy. And there's nothing like barbecue burgers, barbecue chicken, shish kebab. Anybody like shish kebab? Come on. I don't know if you guys remember Adrian. Adrian used to come to church here. They live in Texas now. Fred Meyer bought me one of those, thermometer battery-operated timers. You guys ever see those things? Where you stick the thing inside the meat and you close the lid and it has a little electronic thing. You push a button. And then I have a remote control where I program it to cook a certain temperature on the inside, and I can basically close the lid and walk around the house until it beeps at me. It's amazing. Let me tell you, it is the coolest thing ever. Because I'm not a gadget guy, but that is the coolest thing because I can just walk around the house, see how my meat's doing, All of a sudden, beep 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 beep, it starts beeping at you. You go out and check it. I'm telling you, it cooks your meat to perfection. Perfection. Is that part of my sermon? No. Anyway, I'm getting hungry. Anyway, let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. If you don't have any thing to do this afternoon, go out and get some yard work done. Do some weeding. Maybe you want to hire one of our teenagers. Pay them $15 an hour. Isn't that the minimum wage now? Pay them $15 an hour to do some weeding for you, right? Forget that. How about 10? I'll pay them 10. You know what we used to do with our kids? We used to pay them per weed. If you go out there per weed, we'd give you 5 cents a weed. So they'd go out there and weed, weed, weed. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 says, against all hope. You ever feel like that sometime? Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. How many know you'll always become what you believe? I thought that was good. Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Michelle. And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so Romans without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead since he was about 100 years old. That means it didn't work. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. And he said, I am determined. I just added that in, all right? I am determined. Literally, that's what he said in verse 21. And being fully persuaded and being fully determined that God had power to do what he promised. Hallelujah. I am determined. Now here in this part of Romans, we are walking into an argument. The Judaizers wanted the new converts to be circumcised. How? Paul basically responds by putting God is not built on the exterior, is not built on works. It is not the exterior circumcision ceremony. It is the circumcision of the heart. It's the change of the heart. And then Paul uses Abraham as an example. Abraham being the father of our faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the big long lineage there in history. But Paul gives a short synopsis of the story. He gives the cliff notes. How many like cliff notes? Come on, all you teenagers. You guys know what cliff notes is, right? Instead of reading the book, what'd you do? You went to the store and you bought the cliff notes because you didn't read the book in time, so you figured you'd go get the cliff notes. Anybody ever go to the store the day before and it was sold out, right? And you think, I am in trouble because I didn't read the book and I don't have time. You have the internet now, I know, but I'm just showing my age, okay? You can Google note it, right, to get a synopsis. But cliff notes. You know, one thing that happens in our house on a regular basis is my son, Benjamin, he's Mr. Music Man. And he sings and he plays the piano. The piano is right in our great room. And yesterday he's singing, he's fixing on, working on this song and singing. And as a matter of fact, he sings all the time. All the time. Sometimes when we don't want him to sing. You guys there? He's sitting right over there, so he's laughing at me. He was just in a play called Urinetown. It was a great play. Funny title, funny kind of play, but Urinetown. And he had a friend in the play who was, he's in the choir with him at school. He played the cop in the play. But the cop was basically the narrator of the story of the Urinetown. And he basically told the story and narrated the play, and he did a fabulous job. He's a great actor. As far as narrators are concerned, we all have an inner narrator for our life. The way that we've been certain things taught, there's a narrator inside, and we see certain things in life through the voice of that narrator. Some have been through negative situations, and we see the world through the lens of the narrator that's on the inside of us. Someone who interprets the story. The way we see things a lot of times is not the way that God sees things. See, God narrates differently. That's why the Bible says that we're not supposed to conform to this world, but we're supposed to conform to his word. That we're supposed to renew our mind to God's word and begin to think like he thinks. Even though our thoughts are not his thoughts, our thoughts can be his thoughts because we have his word. So the more that we get to know Christ through his word, the more that we begin to see the world through the lens of Jesus and through the narrator of Jesus. We begin to see life. We begin to see our culture. And a lot of times the only place you ever get the Bible is by coming to church these days. They're not praying in schools. There's no Bible studies going on. There's very little word going out there. And that's one of the plans of the enemy. If he can remove Jesus and remove the word from culture, we won't see Jesus. what God wants to do through any and every situation. We've got to continually update the narrator on the inside of us. Renewing our mind, our soul, and our emotions isn't something that we arrive at. It's something that's progressive, something that we continually do. As we begin to experience different situations and we don't understand why this situation is happening, we've got to go to his word and go to the narrator that's on the inside of us and ask God, show us, God, what the reason is. Show us how to navigate through this season of my life. God's narrator is the story of grace. We should be able to see our life and others that are around us through the narrator of grace. Too many times we narrate the story around us because of past sin and guilt. And God wants to set us free from that. Amen? It says here that Abraham, without weakening in his faith, one thing that Abraham did is he faced the fact. He faced the fact. Here's what faith is not. Faith is not, we'll put it up on the screen, faith is not denial. He faced the fact that his body was old and it wasn't working like he wanted it to work. Denial is not what faith is. I think many times we get in denial about what's really happening in our lives to hyper-spiritual by the reality of our situation. And we can become hyper-spiritual or over-spiritual and deny the reality of where we're at in our lives. You guys out there? It's like when my dad was dying. We want to believe God for his healing. And I think because we were new to the faith movement, we were new to receiving by faith, that, and we didn't live there. My sister and I, we lived in Oklahoma. My mom was dealing with my dad's cancer. That because we weren't there, we were just in denial of what he was going through. And I remember going there with Sibylle. We had gotten married. And I remember going there and seeing the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is, I mean, unless God comes in and does a supernatural miracle, my dad's going to die. Well, that really hurt my sister because he died before my sister came and could say goodbye. And so it hurt her, and it hurt her faith for many years. Blaming God that this faith stuff doesn't work. Sometimes we can be in denial. We were all in denial of the reality of what was going on. Admit the narrator of our life and how we see things. That's not what faith is. We need to accept where we're at. I think honesty is the first step towards overcoming. Are you guys out there? This is who I am. This is where I'm at. Now, I love to be positive. I love to teach on positive things. That doesn't mean that everything in our lives is positive. Are you out there? And some do live in denial, and some do use it as a cop-out or an excuse a lot of times to avoid responsibility. Abraham was old, 100. Still believe in God, that God was going to perform what he promised. As God took him out and showed him the sand of the desert, he said, gives him this visual picture and says, your descendants will be greater than the sand in this desert on this shore. And as he looked up in the sky, he said, your descendants will be greater than the stars in the sky. And at this point, Abraham and Sarah have zero offspring. Zero offspring. Yet, Abraham didn't give up, even though his stuff stopped working a long time ago. Are you guys out there? You got to face it. We have people in this church, you've gone through so much. Some were good, some not good. But I want to let you know this morning that faith can handle it. I want to let you know that there's hope. And the first step, authentic faith, is honesty. You can talk to God and say, God, I'm disappointed. You know, be real with him. He knows anyway. Have a conversation with him. He's your friend. Sure, he's God, the creator of the world, the creator of you, the creator of the universe, but he's also your friend. God, I'm disappointed. You can tell God that. I mean, look at what, when God told Abraham, I'm going to make your descendants greater than the sand on the shore, I mean, Abraham laughed. He's like, yeah, right. Are you kidding me? Sarah's like, there's no way. 100, me 90. No worky. You got to do something. Continue to believe God. Even though we laugh at God, even though sometimes we doubt him, thank God for his grace. Thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his mercy. Even though we don't see how God wants us to see, and we still see through the narrator of our past sin or hurt, thank God for his mercy and his grace. Because you keep pressing in, keep being determined that you're going to see like God sees, and you're going to think like God thinks, and you're going to do what God wants you to do. Just be determined that I'm going to live how God wants me to live. And I am determined to see the promises of God come to pass in my life. I'm determined. I'm determined to prove to my family that if you do the word, God will bless you. If you begin to tithe, God open up the window of heaven, pour out. This giving stuff works. This praying stuff works. This healing promise works. Hallelujah. Faith and there's discipline. But sometimes we're living in denial. The other end of the spectrum is despair. Despair. So at one side there is denial, on the other side there is despair, there's depression. Where you've gone through so much, but the devil has continually on your case, continually barraging you with the lie. He will continue to remind you of the mistakes of the past. Continue to bring them up. You did this, or you did that, or you said this. He wants to keep you in despair. He doesn't want you to experience the joy of the Lord. He doesn't want you to experience that abundant happiness that's available as a Christian. You know, you think to yourself, well, I've been in this thing so long. I have prayed that prayer for so long. What's going on, God? What's going on? See, in the middle of denial and despair is the word determination. I'm going to throw in another D word for you. It's destiny. In the middle is your destiny. See, I'm here to help you get your determination back. I'm here to kickstart your vision again. I'm here to encourage you and let you know that there's still hope for your future. There's still hope for you to begin to see through the lens of the Bible and through the lens of God. Amen? But you've got to be determined. You've got to accept the reality of where you're at, but then you've got to do something. You've got to get going. It can't just be prayer. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for speaking the word. Thank God for, you know, commanding the mountains to be removed. But after you put your hands, it's going to help you to be get up and perform something. Amen? You can't just pray about a job. You have to apply for jobs. Can you say amen? You can't think, well, I'm just so lonely. Well, perhaps your loneliness is a result of your social dysfunction. Maybe you need to change. Maybe there's some books for you to read. Maybe there's some information out there for you to glean from and gain from. Maybe some of the things that people have said to you in the past concerning the way that you handle yourself in the office or handle yourself with family and friends, maybe some of those things are true and you need to accept the reality of those things. Maybe that's the reason why you don't have friends. Amen? Aren't you glad for honest people sometimes? Has anybody ever said something to you about you and you got so angry about it and then you left there and the Holy Spirit's like, that's you? And you're like, oh, is that true, God? The first is acceptance. Okay, God, if that's so, what do you want me to do about it? Help me. Abraham narrated his situation with his faith. What is the kingdom of God like? Well, the kingdom of God is like a skyscraper. Huge, tall building in Dubai, the largest, tallest building in the world. Anybody ever see pictures of that? Like, especially in New Year's Eve. You know, they blow off the fireworks. If you watched Mission Impossible movie, was that in there? He climbed it, you know. Huge building. The kingdom of God is like a skyscraper. No, Jesus said this. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which I have right here, which you can't see because it's small. So I'm going to put a picture up there. Let's put that picture of that tree up there. You guys see that picture? This is a mustard tree. You guys got that picture? I need it up there. Quick. Oh, it's back there. Sorry about that. That is a mustard tree. So in my hand, what do I have? No, I have a tree. I got a tree right here. No, it's a tree. Because the whole thing is there. It's all there. You want it? Here, catch. Matter of fact, I got a lot of them. Anybody want some? Feel that? It's the anointing seed. You see, when you become born again, you get the whole ball of wax. The seed of the word is in you. The full, complete, mature tree lives in you, roots and all. You got everything on the inside of you you'll ever, ever need to become mature and productive and to produce more seed. Everything. The question is, what are you going to do with it? The question is, how are you going to see the seed that's been planted in you? Will you see it through the lens of doubt and unbelief or despair or denial, or will you see it through potential and opportunity? Will you see the seed that's been planted in you by the Holy Spirit? His word came to live in you. His spirit came to live in you. Didn't just come in you a little bit. You can't, as a matter of fact, you can't pray for God to give you more love. You ever pray that prayer? Oh, Lord, please, I just need some more of your love. And God's like, what do you mean? I gave you Jesus. I gave you all of my love. All of my love lives in you. All of my peace lives in you. People out there praying for a revival. Revival lives in you. The power of God lives in you. The healing power of God for you not only personally to be well lives in you and for you to overflow to other people to heal them as well. We don't need to pray for God to heal people. He already has. By his stripes, we were healed 2,000 years ago. The seed of everything you will ever need came in you when you became a believer. You carry around his full and complete 100% presence, gifts, and ability wherever you go. He lives in you. The tree is there. The tree is there. That's the hope of what Christianity is about. You don't need to keep coming to church for 17 years and hopefully get it. No, that you got it the day you received Christ as your Savior. Amen? Now, through his word, we begin to see through the lens, through him being the narrator of our life, of what he has already placed on the inside of us. So it's not just my education. It's not just my stinking thinking. I can begin to think like he thinks because his spirit brings things back to my remembrance. As I study his word, as I apply his word, I begin to see the world, my situation, my family, people. I begin to see through the lens or through the narrator, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. The hope is there. Matthew 13:13 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It is a tree. There is potential living in you. There is potential leadership, potential faith, potential power. I believe Abraham had to close his eyes to what was so he could see to what would be. Had to close his natural eyes. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. And yes, Michelle, that seed has got to be planted. That seed, in order for it to produce, you have to do something with it. I just can't hold these seeds hoping that somehow the wind is going to blow and it's going to end up in my beautiful rototill garden and then come up. No, in order for plants to come up there, I have to purpose not only to rototill it, I've got to either plant the seed way ahead of time in my little hothouse, right? Or I need to go to the farmer's market and I need to cheat and I need to buy the tomato plants and the bean plants that have already sprouted so that I can get them to grow to produce. But just planting them one time in the ground is leaving them there is not going to cut it. I'm going to have to weed. I'm going to have to fertilize. I'm going to have to water every day. Amen. I'm going to have to put some miracle grow power on there in order to produce, because come around August, what do I want? I want some tomatoes. Anybody like tomatoes? I want some fresh cucumbers. I want to go out there and I want to be so good to that garden that I eat those fresh vegetables till the, like sometimes we eat till the end of October. Why? Because I've taken the time to apply myself and to do something about it. Amen? I'm not in denial. Well, plant it one time and you go out there 3 weeks later and it's dead. Yeah, because you didn't water it and it didn't rain. Even if it rains around here, it's not going to hit it where it needs to be. That water, that tomato plant needs to be right at that bottom. It needs a lot of water. It needs a lot of attention. It needs to be planted. So look here in Psalm chapter 1. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. Who you hang around with will affect the narrator of your life. Your friends, your associates, who you spend the most time with, you'll become like them. If you've ever had a roommate, how many know that's true? Roommates in college, I can remember after living with them for a year, you not only say what they say, you actually take on their mannerisms. Did you ever notice that? And it's kind of weird, freaky, especially if you live in a dorm. We lived in one room with three guys for a number of years in college. It's like your roommate. You go home for the summer and your mom, you get the same mannerisms he does, you know? So who you hang around with will affect your perspective. Hey guys out there? So if you want to change your world, one of the things to change your perspective and change the narrative of your life is start hanging around with people that have a more positive outlook than you. If you're in business, hang around with people that have a better, bigger business than you. Are you out there? Get a different perspective. See different potential for your life. Hang around with some couples that have successful marriages. Are you out there? Come to small groups on Wednesday nights and hang around with Pastor Bob. Are you out there? And hear from the vision. Get a positive outlook in your life. Look here, it says, but those who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on this law day and night. To change your perspective, it can't just be a one-time Sunday morning thing. You will never change your life. You'll never change the narrator of your life by only coming on Sunday morning. By only getting the word one sermon a week, it'll satisfy your religious desire, but it will not transform your life for eternity. You will never become fully and completely everything that God wants you to be by only coming on Sunday morning or by only getting the word on Sunday morning. You've got to open your word up on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. It's a personal relationship with Christ. You got to go after him. You got to be determined that I'm going to renew my mind. One of the greatest things about going to Bible school for 2 years every day wasn't so I could be trained for ministry. It was so I could renew my mind and my thinking and begin to see through the lens and the perspective of God's grace. Amen? After 2 years, bang, you wouldn't believe the transformation. Word every day, word every day, word every day. Literally in every class I could, it was like scales being taken off a fish. I came from a fishing family. It was like the scales being removed of religious thinking, of religious tradition. And as you read the word, you look at the Bible and say, is that in the Bible? Because nobody ever really opened it up to me and showed me personally what God actually says. And you begin to think, wow, that's exciting. That's amazing that God promised that to us, that God promised that to me. Says that person, the one who watches who they hang around with, the one who delights in the law of the Lord. Thank God you come into church, because when before coming to church, you're like, can't wait to get to church because I'm hungry for God. Can't wait to worship the Lord. Can't wait to hear his word because I'm going to change my thinking and renew my mind. Are you out there? Hallelujah. And I'm going to see the perspective of the world through God's eyes. How many know the Holy Spirit, the teacher's in the house? Hallelujah. He teaches you. He knows where the narrator in your life is. He knows how the narrator in your life needs to be tweaked. He knows how you need to renew your mind and what your thinking is and where you're at and what your troubles are and what your internal struggles are. God knows everything. You can't hide from him. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful because it's personal. He wants to help. He said, this person who meditates day and night is like a tree planted by streams of water. And look what happens. Yields fruit in its season. Pears and apples and tomatoes and beans and cauliflower and kale. Oh, kale. Spinach. Are you out there? You should all be going, vitamins, green leafy vegetables, yields fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. And look what happens. And whatever they do, prospers, blessed. Whatever they do. If you think to yourself, how come they're always blessed? How come God worked out this amazing thing for Wendy, saved her $1,500 a month? Whatever they do, prospers. Why? God. Thursday morning Bible study. Obeying God. Got this heart for people. See them free from addiction. She doesn't have to do it. Amen? She's stepping out in faith. I think it's going to be very successful. We had a meeting with her. I says, do you understand the implications? And once you start this group, this thing could blow up. Do you got the time? Do you understand how much time it could take and how many people are out there, how many parents are out there that could use this kind of thing? And she understands, but she can't do it in her own power. She's got to trust God. In her own wisdom, she has to trust God. That what's on the inside of her, she's taken that step of faith. Amen? Knowing what's exactly going to happen, but I'm going to obey God. Amen? I'm going to obey God. Whatever I do will prosper. It grows. So it's time to understand what it means to be planted and to be determined. Be determined that it's going to grow. Why? Because the tree is in me. The whole tree and nothing but the tree. So help me God. I'm growing. My faith is growing. Abraham, sure, he laughed. Then they took it into their own hands, and what did Sarah do? She gave Abraham, her assistant, to make a baby apart from God's will. Amen? It's not happening with her and I, so let's do this on our own without the blessing of God. We're going to force this thing through. And today, we are still reaping the problems and the implications from their disobedience in the Middle East. Yet, we all make mistakes. Yet, we've all failed. Yet, we get to the point sometimes when we lose patience with God and we want to take things into our own hand. We many times think that our disobedience or our sin disqualifies us. And I want to shout a big, loud no. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. My encouragement to you is repent, move on, get over it, put it behind you, stop thinking about it, and begin to look at the world through his perspective and use him as the narrator. Begin to see the potential that he's put in you. Amen? Because out of your failure, I believe he wants to make you stronger. Amen? Full of faith, full of wisdom, determined to receive from God. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Talking about Abraham, says, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. So it comes, the promise comes by faith, by grace, guaranteed. It's not of your own selves. It is the gift of God. You are a living gift of God. And the gift is already inside of you to do what God's asked you to do. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham, it says in Romans. Even though we laughed at God, the Bible calls him the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you, God tells Abraham, a father of many nations. He is our father, in verse 17, in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who, look at this now. We're going to end with this, and then we're going to take our liberty offering. It says, the God who gives life to the dead. Anybody dead out there? God wants to give you life this morning. Gives life to the dead vision. Gives life to the dead opportunity. Gives life to the dead prayer. Gives life to the dead hope on the inside. He wants to give you life. As God gave life to Abraham, even though he was dead, what did he do? He called into being things that were not. So instead of walking around saying, oh me, oh my, the promise of God is never going to work. We're getting too old. It's never going to happen. Abraham walked around, and what did he say? He probably repented big time after Ishmael was born. It's like, God, I know this was not your will. God, I want your will to happen. Forgive me. I repent. I'm moving on. But I'm calling those things that don't look like it's going to happen in the natural. I'm calling them out in the spiritual. I'm calling forth the vision that you've placed on the inside of us and what you spoke to us. I'm calling forth that visual picture that my descendants will be greater than the sand on the shore or the stars in the sky. I'm calling that forth. Those things that aren't in the natural. Even though some of the people that I'm hanging around with have discouraged me over the years and they think I'm crazy. They think I'm crazy to leave my city, Ur of the Chaldeans, and come here and live in this desert in this tent. But I know that I've done it for a reason and I've done it for a purpose. And this is my destiny. And this is what you've called me to do. There's hope. I see the vision. Are you out there? God, I thank you for that child. I thank you for that offspring. I thank you, Lord, for the promise. Talk to God. Be real with him. Be honest with him. Tell him how you feel. Yes, it's okay to face the fact. But face it in faith and not denial. And don't get so far on the other side to be in despair and depression. Stay in the middle. Stay determined. I am determined to see God's promises come to pass. I am determined. You may be first generation Christians like I am in my family. I am determined that our children will raise up and will serve God. will love the Bible, will love church, and will always serve Him. I am determined to get my kids here on Sunday mornings. I am determined. Are you out there? I am determined to do what God's called me to do. No matter how I feel, because I don't live by how I feel. I walk by faith and not by sight. Many times I don't feel like it. Many times I don't feel like worshiping God. Many times I don't feel like coming on Sunday and preaching. Many times I don't feel those things, but I'm going to do it by faith because I don't live by how I feel. I don't live in that feeling realm. I live in that faith realm. I live in that obedience realm, and I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do, no matter how I feel, no matter what my situation is, no matter what my education is, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to trust you. Amen. It's not over till it's over. Enact determination. The plan is not dead. There is hope. And begin to call those things as not as though they are. Give life to the dead. Give life to the dead. Life to the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you. Thank you, Lord. Determined. I'm determined, I'm determined, I'm determined, I'm come on, start saying that with me. I'm determined, I'm determined, I'm determined, I'm determined. You say it to yourself, say it out loud. I'm determined, I'm determined. And whatever you're determined, whatever you're struggling with, speak God's word over it. I'm determined to see my relationship healed. I'm determined to be healed. I'm determined to see my family be successful, my kids. I'm determined to see my business prosper. I'm determined to see my community changed. I'm determined to see my church grow. I'm determined to see the children of this church raise up to be world changers. I'm determined, I'm determined, I'm determined. I'm determined to lose weight. I'm determined to get in shape. I'm determined to turn my health around. I'm determined that whatever it is, I'm determined to see what I wrote on that stake last week to come to pass. I'm determined that whatever I wrote on that stake is mine. I claim it in Jesus' name. Every time I walk by it, I'm determined, Lord. Show me the next step. Determined, 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 determined. What do I need to do? Where do I need to invest? Who do I need to see? Divine connections. Again, I go to Wendy. Wants to buy another house at the beach. You know one of the reasons why she wants to buy another house? She wanted... Her next vision is to open up a detox center. It's one of the reasons why she wanted that house. With purpose. Reason. Hallelujah. Purpose. Reason. Get them out of the city. Get them away from their friends that are influencing them. Get them down a couple hours away. Let's get them through this process so we can help them to move on. Get free from this. Free from this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're determined about something, I want you to stand up. You got something going on the inside of you. Determined, 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 determined. I'm determined. I'm determined. I'm going to stay the way I am. I'm determined. I'm determined to go deeper into God's word. I'm determined to change the narrator of my life. I'm determined, I'm determined, I'm determined. I refuse to allow the MC of my life, of my past, and of my past failures and mistakes. Abraham could have easily given up. Could have easily given up because of his sin. But he turned it around. Because every time that he walked out of his tent, he saw the sand on the shore, and every night he saw the stars in the sky. It was a continual reminder of what God said. See, that's what the stake in your yard is. Continual reminder. And if you need one, they're right back there. You can take one. Continual reminder of the vision God has for you. Determined. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for these determined people. It's good to be around people of vision. Hope. It's good also to be around people that are real, that are honest, that aren't hiding behind their denial, and that aren't in complete despair. But even though we fall into bouts of despair or depression, I thank you, Lord, we come right back in the middle and we adjust ourselves. Instead of having a pity party, we get Holy Ghost determined. Amen. That's why we come. Just get readjusted today. A little spiritual chiropractor adjustment on your back today. On your spirit, on your heart, on your mind. Okay? Thank you, Pastor Bob. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me to get back on track. I pray that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let everybody have a seat. If you don't have an envelope and you need one, raise your hand, a Liberty Offering envelope. I am determined to buy the cameras and the equipment we need to live stream our services. Determined. If you don't have a Liberty Offering envelope, it's a specific envelope you should have received. Everyone should do something. It is a pledge.